All right, we're going to do a short teaching this morning called More Blessed to Give Than to Receive. This is 2/20/22. More blessed to give than to receive. It kind of goes along with kind of the theme of what the Lord's been saying this morning. And this is a little different take. I've never come at a teaching on finances in this direction, but the Lord knows. He knows what we need. Okay, why does there seem to be two types of people on the earth? Those that give and those who take. Joyful givers seem to be few and far between, and there seems to be a whole lot of people out there that only what they can get at whatever endeavor, it's about what they can get out of it. If it's not them, I heard someone say this yesterday, it was 107, JFK Jr., Vice President of the United States of America. We'll see. They were asking about Putin's intentions. Isn't Putin working with Trump? Talking about Ukraine and all of that. He said, there's one thing I know about Putin. Whatever he does, it's to Putin's advantage and the advantage of his people. And if it's an advantage to him, he'll do it. If it's not, he won't. So I'm going, okay, well, that's a good leader. He's taking care of his people. They're a Christian nation. They don't have a deep state in Russia. Did you know that? I think that's why they've always been demonized. The devil. Isn't that the way the devil, he blames everybody else? Well, Trump did it. He colluded with Russia when it was really Hillary. Yeah. All right. All right. Joyful givers seem to be few and far between. There seems to be a whole lot of people out there that's only about what they can get. It never occurs to them that what Jesus said is the standard. He's trying to set a precedence. All right. Kind of like the rich young ruler. Jesus said, well, sell all you have, give to the poor, then you'll have riches in heaven. He said, oh. He went away sad that day because he didn't get it. He didn't get the fact that the kingdom of God operates differently from the world system. The world system is get all you can, like, what's his name? His mind just went through my brain and out the door. We went to some of his seminars. Evanzini. Yeah, John Evanzini. He said the world just gets them a can, gets all they can, puts in the can, sits on the can. That's what they do. Stockpiling. Isn't that what the deep state's done? They've confiscated everything that they possibly can, and they're going for everything, yeah, to get what they can. All right, Acts 20:35, James kind of, or Paul quoted this in Acts. He said Jesus said it. So in Acts 20:35, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. All right, we're going to look at a couple other scriptures about finances. James 5. We're going to look at the first six verses there. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. That's what's been going on for 6,000 years, and it's come to a head, if you say. In fact, I heard a word of the Lord this week from Dutch Sheets. It was just he has a little podcast. I'll bring it on our intel on Wednesday night. But he has it's called God Time 15. In other words, give God 15 minutes a day. He brings a 15-minute teaching. And he said he had a prophetic person get a hold of him to say that the boil has been lanced. In other words, the it's come to fruition and it's all the rupture has happened and all the clean out's happening. The festering or whatever, all of that. I forget the way it's worded. I'll tell you Wednesday. But anyway, that's what he said. And that's what James is describing right here. 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root to all evil. See, there's only two masters. Either you're going to love money or you're going to love God, basically. All right, evil there in 1 Timothy 6:10 means worthless, depraved, and injurious. You can just go through the scriptures from the Genesis to Revelation and you can look at the different people that have been chosen that way and how they are. All right, Genesis 4 is one we're going to look at here. All right, 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived Cain and bare Cain. Now, we can put aside that Cain was conceived by the devil. All right? It says right here in the scripture, Eve conceived Cain by Adam. All right? So that settles the matter. Cain was not a hybrid. He was not a whatever, Nephilim. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had a respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain, let me see where, how long? Okay, 15. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, he either ate him or buried him, because all God saw was blood, his blood. And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. See, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Oh, he was one of those people we're dealing with today. All right. I know there's a lot of junk around about there, but it says it pretty plain right there in the Word of God that it was not because of some DNA flaw. What did God say? Sin crouches at the door. There it is, sin. Sin. That's why Jesus came. Sin. He had to take care of the sin problem. Yeah. All right. And if there's another note concerning him. He gave birth to Enoch, or he was in his lineage. Enoch was the one that God took early. Didn't see death. He was a man of God. And he was in the lineage of Cain. So that tells you right there, it wasn't a bloodline, it wasn't a DNA flaw or anything like that, or a hybrid or anything like that. It was sin is crouching at the door. In other words, you can do good or you can do bad. He chose. All right. I'll read you here what I wrote down. I know that a lot of stuff is floating around about Cain. He's the offspring of Satan, but the scripture indicates that he was indeed the son of Adam and Eve. It was not a DNA flaw, but it was sin. Cain actually had a godly bloodline. Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and we know God took him early. I mean, he was raptured. You talk about raptured, he was raptured. He didn't see death. Why did Jesus come? To cure the plight of man. What was the plight of man? Sin. This is 1 John 3:12. This was the purpose that the Son of God was manifested. Right here, 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So he was of the wicked one. What caused him to be of the wicked one? Just a choice. We like to think that it's something extra that's causing these people to be so evil. And maybe there's something to all this other stuff. But it wasn't in this case. There you go. No matter what you might hear, there's the truth. Whoever says what, you can say, oh no, I can show you scripture and verse. All right. All right, let's look at Jude 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and read greedily after the error of Balaam. For reward and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit wherewith, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurs, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So when people say they're soulless, I think, Danny and I were talking about it, you know, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, but most people don't know that. They believe the spirit and the soul are the same thing, which it isn't. But they are corrupted, completely corrupted. Their mindsets are completely about that, getting that to what's to their advantage. Yeah. A lover of money as opposed to a lover of God. That's what does it. Why? Adam touched that tree. I'm telling you, that's where it all started, in the garden. He touched what was God's. That's when it all started. That's when the sin started. That's when the temptation from the enemy started for men to choose. All right. This is where all the evil came from. Having a wrong mindset about money. You can get around people and you know where their heart is. It's never about helping anybody else. It's about how, what can I get? All right, Luke 12:13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The grant of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You think about the type of people that all they can think about is killing as many people as possible and getting all of their retirement, everything they possess. This is the Jezebel spirit. This is what happened with Nabal. Ahab was throwing a fit because Nabal wouldn't sell the vineyard to him. Well, it was his inheritance by right. He wasn't supposed to sell his inheritance. He told Jezebel, who was lawless, didn't care about God's law, she arranged to have him murdered so that Ahab just went and took possession of it like it's no big deal. It's just our way of life. Well, now we see it all everywhere. It's run rampant on the earth. People seem to, even people that are not this way, they seem to be giving. Being cheerful givers seems very foreign to them. It's like they linger in this right here all the time. I'm not like that, but I'm that. You don't have to be rich to have the wrong attitude about money. Okay. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? You give. Yeah. That's why it's more blessed. Because when you plant it God's way, it'll come back in on every wave. But these people over here, they don't get that. The left doesn't get that. They don't embrace God. They've chosen another master. All right, Luke 15. 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would have fain have eaten or filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh unto the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, notice he didn't call him his brother, This thy son, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Here's that attitude that I'm talking about. I remember someone sharing something with me about they were raised poor, and they got everything that they got from Catholic charities. They were Catholic, which today we find out about Catholic charities, so I'm going, oh, dear God. But anyway, she said, we used to look at people that would drive by in a new car and just despise them. Like they were awful. They were sinners. They were, look at them. Because everything they had were hand-me-downs. So I developed a mindset of that kind of thinking towards the things of God and just barely getting by and just, when you buy something, it's just barely get by. It's just that attitude, like, you know, you just got to scrape together your last 2 cents, you know, that type of deal. It's a horrible way to live. Live that way for a long time. It's awful. That's those in between. They're not blatantly stealing from people to get stuff, but on the other side of it, they're not going into the kingdom and partaking of what they could have because of the goodness of God. All right, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Oh, dear Lord. All right. It's really asinine to believe that about 3,000 people are thinking they're going to rule the whole world and take everything from everybody. As little as 3,000 people. And it can't be. I think that's where it was when it started. You're thinking. That just shows you how the devil has duped. All right. It's more blessed to give because it sets the kingdom of God in operation. It does not bring the sorrow with it. This is Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow. Yeah. How do we get it? Not by killing someone or coveting someone's goods, but by planting and giving. That's the way it comes. That's why we're not going to have to be concerned about famine. Because we've been planting. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures on that. This is Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Over here in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it doesn't list giving in there, but it ought to be. Thought I'd look at it right quick. All right, Mark 4:26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. It can't help but if you leave it alone, go to bed and get up, it'll come forth. It's a law that's set in motion. God's law. All right, 2 Corinthians 9. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. It's a mode of operation. It isn't just giving. It isn't just throwing in the plunk in the tithe in the bucket. That's not what it's about. It's about a operation of the kingdom. Giving. All right, Ecclesiastes 11. Sometimes it takes a little time to build up a momentum, but it will. Verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. I've just gotten it in a habit when I leave my house or I'm going to be with somebody, I've got something with me. I mean, I'm just geared that way. I usually have a bundle of clothes with me when I go meet my friend for lunch. They have two or three people they pass the clothes to, and her mother enjoys trying them on, and she may want to keep them or not. I get a kick out of her. She gets the best time while we're gone. She's trying on those clothes I've brought. And sometimes she'll show me, you know, what they look like. I mean, she's just getting such a blessing out of it. And, you know, and it's blessing other people. In fact, one of the ladies that cleans their house, she gave them some longer tops. She's evidently preaches in the pulpit somewhere. She said, well, these are real good for me when I'm preaching, I guess because maybe they're stairs, you know. And I'm thinking, well, who knew, you know? Just sowing, just giving. It's just a lifestyle. It's just something you do. It just comes naturally. It just flows out of you. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall come upon the earth. Look at the what's looking at now. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. They've been ramping up weather warfare, which we thought was taken out, you know. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Oh, we better sit on our can, you know what they say. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is in the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. If a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. In other words, I should have stopped reading before that. But anyway, cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, it'll come back in on every wave. It picks up momentum. It picks up speed. Amos chapter 9. Some good Old Testament scriptures on it. Amos 13:14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inherit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Sounds like a plenty. Givers and takers, it's all a matter of choice. Two masters, that's it. All right, I have a bonus for you today. There's info out there today that they have recovered 711 extra books of the Bible when they cleaned out the Vatican dump. I know that seems far out, but Apostle John evidently didn't think that way at all. So here is the scripture I want to read to you. John 21:25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So I'm thinking, why are we balking at 711 books? When John said, if everything was written that he did, the world couldn't contain it. So it's food for thought. I guess anything's possible. All right. That's all.